The book of Romans tells us that if we're to be fellow heirs with Christ, we must also suffer with him in this life to be glorified with him in eternity. But what happens when that suffering becomes too much to bear and is threatening to our very lives? Our guest is here to talk about this and more right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. Welcome back to the studio. Are we not excited for today's panel? For those of you joining us at home, we are wrapping up a series of programs on two new Defender books. Today, the subject of discussion is focused on the triumph of the redeemed, and I'm going to read to you the subtitle, An Eternal Perspective That Calms Our Fears in Perilous Times, and of course, The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World. And I'm going to introduce to you the authors right now. He's a Bible teacher with a Master of Divinity degree from Talbot University, retired financial business analyst, and valuable voice in biblical prophecy, Jonathan Brentner. He's the author of countless best-selling books that have been distributed into the hundreds of thousands of copies worldwide. Welcome back once again, Mr. Terry James. And he's a teacher of Bible prophecy and apologetics, a retired 22-year Army aviator with numerous deployments to the Middle East, Europe, and Asia, and holds a bachelor's degree in international relations, Pete Garcia. Welcome back. We are so thrilled to be here, and we're so excited to be talking about these books. I was so encouraged last week, and I know that some of the questions that came out weren't scripted. Some of the most authentic moments are the ones that the Holy Spirit reveals in the midst of a conversation like this. So if you missed last week, go back to the archives. Some very beautiful organic moments where we were talking about encouragement in these crazy times that we're living in, the collapse of Western civilization, the eminence and the beauty of Jesus' return. Amen? The book, The Triumph of the Redeemed by Jonathan Brentner. We're going to pick up today and we're going to focus more on this book. Jonathan, in your book, you have a chapter titled 4 a.m. And it's one of the shortest titles I think I've ever seen, being that it's literally just the number 4 a.m., where you talk about hitting a breaking point in your life where everything seemed stacked against you. Let's start out by talking about your experience and how your hardships in life actually helped you write this book.
Okay, I'll tackle the first question first. I think at that point, it was a full realization that I'd never be a pastor again due to many of the hardships, and they actually were worse than what I put into the book and lasted longer. But it was the realization I'd never be a pastor again. I knew that my wife had rejected me. My best friend was gone. He betrayed me, and some of the pastors in the denomination I was a part of, you know, stopped talking to me. I was so alone, and foolishly, I did not reach out to my family, because if I had, they would have responded right away, and they did when they found out, you know, all that was going on. But as I look at how all my hardships, you know, maybe during a 10 to 12-year period fit into the book, I would say, first of all, is that I needed the hard times for spiritual growth, to get rid of pride, you know, to let me know that, you know, that God works through me in spite of me, not because of me.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was so key for me to understand. Right. And just sort of knocked me down. And I was immature. As a young pastor, I was immature. And I needed those hardships. And I needed to understand that God doesn't do everything on my time frame. I can't put him in a box. That he does things.
Yeah.
And he allows things to come into my life. And I think, secondly, it deepened my love for Scripture and enhanced my love for Scripture. Because I went through some rather difficult financial times after that. In fact, there was one time when I was 39 years old that the divorce had happened. I was going to have my children for a week, and I didn't know where the food was going to come from. And I literally found $26 on the ground in two separate occasions. Now, $26 back then would be like $70 today.
Sure.
And I was able to feed them. And it's such a miracle that God kept his promises and that I was able to retire 25 years later and write. That's a miracle. Only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. Mm-hmm. And I think it also deepened my love for Bible prophecy. And actually, it started when I was a small child. My dad died when I was 10 years old, and he was a believer. But we had some missionaries staying at our house from time to time. There were rural missionaries. And I remember one day they asked me, do you know about Jesus' second coming? And I said, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. And so they explained it to me. And then they gave me this tract that had all the eschatological events, you know, mapped out. I remember reading it, and I was so interested in it. But when my dad died, you know, I really found hope in 1 Thessalonians 4. And I actually took a rose petal from his coffin and I put it in 1 Thessalonians 4 as a reminder of the hope that I have. And I can't explain how a 10-year-old boy found so much comfort in the rapture, but I did, you know, and it's just in. And then when these hard times hit, you know, I found myself drifting away. I believed what I believed, but I valued my goals as a pastor, all my earthly goals. They were above my eternal aspirations, and God had to knock these down and put these up. And that was the heart of what I explained about having an eternal perspective.
As you were talking, I also, and I'll just highlight this in case you had not thought of it this way, but you had said that you were devastated by the realization you would never pastor again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here you are at Skywatch TV preaching.
Yeah, and I guess in a way. Yeah.
I know that over the last few weeks, we've talked an awful lot about the rapture and this realization. And again, Donna had some of the math on this, and I can't recite the actual statistics to you. She probably could. The number of people going to church today that don't know terms like the Great Commission, or they're unfamiliar with the idea of a rapture, or it's a part of a hymnal, but they've never understood what it is.
Right.
And I'm wondering, because I know you deal with some of this in the book, and both of these books do a thorough job examining the difficult questions like what happens to babies in the womb post-rapture. They deal with some of these questions that people have, like I maybe had never considered that before. Mm-hmm. The book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, I know that you also deal with this idea that somebody might be new to Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, is the rapture and the second coming of Jesus, is that the same event?
No, it's not. And I explained some of the key differences in my book. And for me, one of the best differences are the most telling differences is the place of the resurrection. When Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says God raises the dead in Christ first, that they're raised first. That's the first thing that happens after he appears in the shout and the trumpet. And when you look at Revelation 19 going into 20, at the second coming, we see that Jesus rides down majestically. It's not a quick event. He rides majestically and he defeats the armies that are arrayed against Jerusalem. He throws the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And then he comes to earth, he sets up thrones, and then he raises the dead, the tribulation saints. And so they're different. They're tribulation saints, those who have been martyred. But in 1 Thessalonians, it's all the dead in Christ. So I would emphasize those. And I know that Pete and Terry also talk about the differences between the two. And there's just many. But if you take God's word literally, these differences just jump out at you.
Of course, when I opened the program too, I mentioned this in my teaser. So I want to make sure we get time to examine this too. But you also mentioned that upon reading Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, that the recipients of that letter actually, their first reaction was almost kind of an unnecessary grief. What's that about?
Yeah, they were grieving unnecessarily. Yeah. And that was because, amazingly, some of the believers in this new church had died because Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica. And it was not long afterwards that he sent Timothy back. And of course, Timothy came back to him and said, you know, they're grieving over the loss of some believers. And I think that he addresses it as ignorance. He doesn't say, you guys don't believe in the resurrection. He said, no, it's a matter of ignorance and you're uninformed. And this I say to you by the word of the Lord. He prefaces it as almost new revelation. And he says the dead in Christ will rise first. And before that, he says, you know, God will bring with them those who have died in Christ. And so you have both things. So he's emphasizing the prominent place of the dead in Christ in the rapture. And I believe that they were grieving for these dead believers because they thought they would miss the rapture. That's what I really believe. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the sermon I record later, you know, and talk about how that fits in with the whole story, the whole narrative that Jesus gave us on the...
So you're going to provide a more elaborate explanation. What he's referring to, ladies and gentlemen, is a DVD that is available, and you're going to see a promotional spot in just a minute. But the DVD is called The Coming Judgments DVD, and Jonathan's doing a segment called Hope in the Rapture. You'll also find on the same DVD, Pete and Terry provide details on all of the seal bowl and trumpet judgments. And so when he's talking about the DVD, that's what he's referring to. Later this afternoon, we're going to create that as custom content that goes along with this special offer.
One thing that I'm enjoying listening to, you talk about the message of hope, and we're talking about Revelation, and so many people shy away from the book of Revelation because of all of the prophetic implications, and there's a lot of scary events taking place in Revelation. But for me, you know, first of all, the whole book begins with, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about like, Jesus coming back,
yes.
But there's this great finish to what happened in the beginning. And so when you think about God creating us in the Garden of Eden, in this setting where we're communing with him in a place where there isn't any disease or sickness or pain or trial or trouble. It's this peaceful, what was supposed to be. And at the very end of Revelation, the entire book ends. This is my favorite part, where God takes us and he personally wipes the tears from our eyes and he restores us to this place that he originally put us in, where there's no more pain, no more disease, no more sickness, no more sadness. He tells us, those belong to a world that is gone. And I just love the hope that that gives. And I have trouble getting through talking about it sometimes because there is so much pain and so much disease and so much sickness. And nobody gets out of this life untainted by the pain that happened as a result of the fall. And what God is really saying is by the end of Revelation, we're going back to that original untainted state where he created us in the first place, where we can have uninhibited communion with him that doesn't have that divider of sin in the way. And it's just, to me, that is the biggest message of hope, you know, and it just goes with everything you're saying. And you've talked so much about the other places in Revelation. And I keep going, and let's talk about Revelation 20 and 21, where this great finale comes in. So to me, that is the biggest message of hope in the entire Bible.
I love the fact that what you've written is actually a message of hope. Even the triumph of the redeemed, the title alone, it really points to the fact that, listen, everybody wants to talk about how all of this is really scary and all of it's, you know, the God's wrath. There's good news in the end, too. I mean, the fact that the, even during this these scary days, the Lord is still accepting. Pete was talking about during the break earlier, you can't study soteriology, which is the theology of salvation. You can't study that without also studying eschatology and seeing how this all wraps together. And it is all wrapped together. What is the surprise arrival? This day of the Lord, the surprise arrival, what does that mean for the rapture?
Okay, well, I believe that the first event in the day of the Lord is the rapture. Now, when Paul was in Thessalonica, you know, he gave them incredible amount of instruction on future things in just a short amount of time. He was there maybe, well, 3 weeks we know he was in the synagogues, but he was probably there longer. But they knew about the day of the Lord from the Old Testament. There's passages regarding that. And, of course, the book of Revelation wouldn't be written for another 40, 45 years after he was there. So he couldn't say, well, you know, the rapture happens at this point in the book of Revelation. That would have been great if he could have done that. It would have ended all the controversy. But he doesn't. And actually, Dwight Pentecost in his book, his excellent book, Things to Come. It's kind of a big book. I had to read it in seminary, and it really influenced a lot of my theology. Of course, Dwight Pentecost was this famous professor at Dallas Seminary, and I got that from him, that he believes that the rapture happens in the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord goes from the rapture to the destruction of the earth, as he talks about in 2 Peter. And so I believe that the fact that it was going to be a surprise meant that it has to happen before all these judgments happen. If the day of the Lord starts after a fourth of the world's population has been killed is in the seal judgments, no one's going to be surprised by more bad news. Well, I wouldn't think they would be, but people are going to be saying peace and safety, and then the rapture happens and boom.
Yeah.
I think it won't be the tribulation judgments, it'll be like pre-tribulation judgments maybe, but I believe that the rapture happens and then the day of the Lord, and then for Israel, then, as we talked about earlier, it's when the Antichrist makes this covenant, sure, this seven-year yeah. covenant with the nation of Israel.
Right.
And another aspect of this is that after Paul wrote the first letter to the Thessalonians, someone contrived a message to them saying that the day of the Lord had already started.
Okay.
And that put these Thessalonians into a state of panic. And the word for panic there is literally like an earthquake. They were literally shaken because mm-hmm. they thought the day of the Lord had started. And what that tells me is that when Paul said that you're not going to see the wrath of the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, he meant that the rapture was going to happen beforehand. And these seasoned saints, well, not seasoned saints, these saints going through tribulation, you know, imagine what they thought about the day of the Lord. They were already being persecuted. Uh-huh. The day of the Lord's coming, oh my, and it shook them up. And I think that just tells us how bad it was, but it tells us that their hope was in the rapture happening before the day of the Lord and, of course, before the tribulation.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there for just a minute, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We want to make sure that you know how you can get a copy of this incredible work in this special offer. We'll be right back.
The world is plunging towards chaos as the return of our Savior draws nigh. SkyWatch TV is proud to present the coming rapture exclusive offer. When you order Terry James and Pete Garcia's new book, The Disappearing, future events that will rock the world from the SkyWatch TV store. You'll also receive Jonathan Brentner's hope-filled book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, which will invigorate you with a sense of peace and victory amid the chaos that surrounds us. And you'll receive the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James, Pete Garcia, and Jonathan Brentner team up to disclose what the Bible actually has to say about the judgments of Revelations and the imminency of the rapture. While hundreds of biblical experts point out the ever-increasing ways that individual freedoms are becoming perpetually threatened, global elites aggressively strive towards a one-world government and universal financial currency, and all accounts appear to be setting the end-time stage for fulfillment of God's prophetic word. The Disappearing, future events that will rock the world, chronicles what events are set in motion now that are driving the prophetic final act of human history, and will bring to you God's prophetic timeline in detail from this present moment. Vivid depictions of unfolding events immediately following the rapture and beyond, through planet Earth's judgment and ultimate restoration. A dramatic, eye-opening presentation of the rapture itself and what happens to children in the mysterious disappearance. Also, the new book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, is a must-have manual of hope and strength in the end times. Join Jonathan Brentner as he helps you to grasp the eternal perspective during life's painful circumstances. In this vital resource, you will develop a firm foundation regarding the return of Jesus and in other areas, such as our reception of immortal and imperishable bodies, our participation in a jubilant celebration followed by a wedding feast, our return to earth and thousand-year reign with Jesus, and our life in paradise, dwelling in the New Jerusalem and exploring the new earth. But that's not all. This incredible offer also includes the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James and Pete Garcia delve into great detail on the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments listed in the book of Revelation. This exclusive DVD also features Jonathan Brentner's presentation entitled Hope in the Rapture. You'll be shocked when you find out why the Thessalonians were grief-stricken regarding the rapture upon receiving the Apostle Paul's first letter, and how you can be free from this very same trap, all included in the brand new DVD, The Coming Judgments. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $65. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So while the world continues to storm, grab hold of the eternal perspective and be ready for the return of the King. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Coming Rapture exclusive offer, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're going to continue our discussion with Jonathan Brentner on his book, The Triumph of the Redeemed. And with just a few minutes left, Jonathan, I think one of the things that we get a lot of emails as a ministry about, and you'll even hear comments when you go to the break, some of the people in studio occasionally will raise questions like this, where they have the head knowledge, they know what the Word of God says about having peace in perilous times, they've memorized scriptures, they have devotionals posted to the fridge via magnet, but that does not make them impervious to anxiety, to fear, or they're going through a health crisis, or like we mentioned, a prodigal child is lost, and they're just heavy because of it, and it challenges their ability to live in a place of constant joy and optimism and peace. People that understand that there's an eternity waiting for them, but just can't rest in that hope because it's not right now.
What would you
offer them? Well, something in your book.
Okay. I would say that first of all, you know, that was me, you know, because I was even preaching on eternal things, on eschatology, the study of future thing. But yet when the hard times hit, it was like I didn't know them at all. And I think one of the things that I learned going through the hard times was to really grab a hold of my hope and make it personal, value it above my earthly ambitions. And I think that is what got me through it. But it doesn't happen right away. And I would tell people it's going to be a struggle. And even for me, there are moments when I want to take back a little bit of, okay, I really want this to happen. So it's not a one time done and you're set for all your life. It's a daily battle. But there are a couple things that I think I would point out to encourage them. And one thing is to think of Joseph in the book of Genesis as he's heading down to Egypt, bound in chains, and to be sold in slavery. Can you imagine someone coming up to him and saying, hey, you know what? In several years, you're going to be second in command in Egypt. He'd have thought they were probably crazy. You know, of course, he had his dreams to go on, but he still would have thought they were crazy. But yet God took him through all those hard times to prepare him for that place in the kingdom, in the Egypt kingdom. And I think the Lord does that to us too. He takes us through hard times. And I believe that all of our experiences, good and bad, are going to play in to the role that we have in the millennium. So I would encourage them that don't look at your struggles, your afflictions, your sickness, your illness as something that it's just in the moment. Okay, I get over it. The Lord's done his job and move on. No, it has eternal implications for them, eternal joy, eternal rewards. And there's another story I tell in the book, and I believe it's in the introduction to the book that talks about the eternal state. And there was a singer named Paul Lundgren who was handicapped. Years earlier, he'd been in a traffic accident and delivering a piano for a music store, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. But yet he was one of the most joyous and spirit-filled believers I'd seen in my life up to that point. And the reason was he sang about and talked about heaven, about someday he was going to walk on streets of gold. He was not going to be paralyzed in eternity. He was going to have that new body. And for me, that really stuck with me. Now, I was not the most athletic high schooler, I'll admit that. But I love playing football, basketball, tennis, and those things in baseball. I absolutely love them. So what's going through my mind is, you know, he can't do the things that I love to do. I was a Christian at the time, but still I'm thinking, he can't do what I love to do, but yet he's so joyous. And I think we just need to focus on the joy ahead of us. And one of the reasons I spend a little bit of time on theology is I want believers to know why they have this hope and not shaken. But I would tell people that it's not going to happen instantaneously, but just grab a hold of passages that give you hope in the Bible. Grab a hold of them, make them personal, meditate on them, think about eternity more than you think about your aspirations for this life.
Right.
And again, it's not that we don't have goals. It's not that we don't set plans. It's that we make sure that eternal realities are above what we're looking for in this life. And that's a hard lesson to learn. It was really difficult for me to learn. And it takes time, but that's what I would encourage people with.
I would probably put myself in a camp of people that are still learning. I mean, I wish I could tell you past tense. I learned, but I'd like to think I've come some distance. But no, you know, like I've had, and it's no secret to the people watching this program, I've had challenges with my health. And I can't tell you that, especially years ago when it was really bad, how many times I felt like what you're describing, where if I get stuck in the today, what's happening right now with my health today, and I can start to see my kids growing up without me, and I can start to picture all of the dreams and the plans that I'm latched onto as fleeting along with my health, it gets really tough sometimes to be in that spot and to feel that you're describing your day as something joyful or peaceful or the serenity. And worse, a lot of times, and I'm just being real with you guys, I'm sure you've been there, but sometimes it's that guy that's trying to help you out of that who's got the little anecdotal, you know, keep your chin up, fly straight, you know. He's got a little handy magnet for you that's got a little happy quip for the day.
And it
really is just not, for me, it just is not going to help me that day. But what you said was profound. It's the daily practice.
Yes.
It's not a one and done. Because life does do this, right? Where you raise your expectations, you're finally filled with joy because circumstances are finally there, and then bam, something else. And your emotions just get destroyed again. It's that, I guess, trying to be more measured and to take the good days, but to try to keep your reaction to the bad ones steadier and to practice daily accepting the promise that we have in Scripture as opposed to reacting to all the stuff. Because what you said is absolutely profound and absolute. These are circumstances. This is not our destiny. This is not where we're like travelers who have been sent to a different planet with a mission to evangelize the gospel. This is not our home. And frankly, I don't think we're ever going to be comfortable here.
We shouldn't be.
No.
So
God, make sure of that.
We should not be.
There was a time when I was talking to someone who was severely depressed, and I believe that he made the assumption that what I said was going to make a difference and bring him out of it right away, you know, and I made the mistake of not emphasizing that it takes time. It takes a daily practice to do it.
Are you guys encouraged? With just a few seconds left on the clock, because I have to do this, I really want to thank you guys. I know the people here are very grateful that you guys, you know, traveled all the way to Missouri to do these shows because you love the message of the gospel, and you've written these books to really highlight that encouragement in the days that we're living in, being ready for the rapture, as well as field guides for those that might not make it in the rapture that might happen upon these books that would explain to them exactly what it is that they're going through and where their hope lies in those final days. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Garcia, Terry James, and Jonathan Brentner. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to want to miss next week. We'll be back. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. I'm Joe Horn. We'll be back.